Good morning. What a perfect summer morning. Perfect. It's perfect to just be able to be here. We had some beautiful rain yesterday in Winkler, but I understand that was not the case all across the board here, eh? No. Sorry about that. We're still on the hot page over here. And so I was reading a little bit of I couldn't help myself in the How Hot Is It page. Here's what I found. What a few people said. It was so hot, they said, I saw a chicken lay an omelet. It was so hot, you take your potato out of the ground with tongs, add sour cream, and enjoy. It was so hot, the trees were whistling for the dogs. And it was so hot that you discover that in July, it only takes two fingers to drive your car. You know, 10 and 2, folks, 10 and 2. I'm not complaining, though. I don't know about you, but I think I'm still thawing out from winter. It's been good. So welcome here. Welcome to this perfect weather morning worship time. We often ask each other, how's your summer going? How is your summer going? For many of us, we say, well, in the summer, we're going to relax. We're going to rest. Are you accomplishing that? For others, we say, well, we're going to get this and this and that accomplished in the summertime. Is that happening? And what kind of thoughts does summer bring to you in general? Does it bring thoughts of, oh, it's been very busy? Does it bring thoughts of happiness, sadness, maybe even depression, boredom? Vacations, family time, hard work, friend time, never-ending garden, joy of gardening, barbecues, fires, extra God time, reflection time, rejuvenation, all kinds of thoughts. Somebody said deep summer is where laziness finds respectability. Well, maybe in some ways and sometimes, that's what we need to do as well. Let's just take a little look at some of the announcements. Marilyn was just mentioning that Ann Peckham had surgery on Thursday, and the family just needs our extra prayer support right now as she goes through that, recovers from that, and some difficulties after that. Also, their 9-year-old son, Elisha, and by the way, I was forgetting that they're still all here, Bill and Ann and Elisha, here in Manitoba. And Elisha's also been going through some health struggles. So if we could just pray over them some more this week, that'd be good. Also, take note, there's a church council meeting Thursday, and just take a look at the other announcements as they pertain to you. As we think about summer, again, I'm also asking myself, so how's my summer with God going? And hopefully our answer isn't with who, yet with God in the summer. Somehow, sometimes in the summer, we've tended to leave him standing there way back in June or right after DVBS. If we do, we know we're missing out. We know this. We do need to take a break from many things, but we know God isn't one of those. God still calls us to seek him deliberately, seek him with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. Like the verse of the week is, I noticed at the bottom of your page, and Morgan, if you just put it up there, Jesus still asks us to seek him, still asks. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments," from Matthew 22. And surprisingly, it doesn't give us except in the summertime. Maybe meeting up with God has been a bit less frequent for you in the last while than you or I would like. Maybe it's been more than ever. Either way, let's just take a few minutes to just come to him as we start our service. Our Father, what a privilege to gather here like this, on this morning, in this way, together. Thank you for each one who is here. These are the people you have given us to worship you with in this morning. Thank you for carrying us through all the happenings of our week. You knew every intricate piece of it. It is so good to be in your presence together. We invite you now to just be in the forefront of our minds. To be the one that we concentrate our attention on now. We want to honor you with our mouths as we sing. Please accept our songs to you and about you, and our offerings in a minute of money. We come humbly, but confidently, knowing and reminded, believing that you love us exactly where we are. Thank you, Father. Amen. For this morning, I'd just like to put our next prayer time right up before our scripture reading. So we'll just spend some time singing. Thank you, Ryan, and the group you've got with you for leading us in worship. And after that, we'll just have the offertory follow and the children's story follow.
Good morning. Oh, this is really neat to be here this morning and to worship together with you in this way. We're going to maybe see if we can push the boundaries a little bit and see if we can do some songs in Spanish this morning. Would you guys be up for that? Just a couple, don't worry. And, you know, the theme for the summer, as I was here last week, encountering Jesus, or these encounters that Jesus has had with, you look at these different encounters Jesus has had. And these songs are just focused really on him, on Jesus, on who he is. And often one of the coolest parts about worship, I think, is it's just sometimes we're singing to God, sometimes we're singing to each other, sometimes we're even singing to ourselves and reminding ourselves who he is. And actually, I think we're often doing all of these all at the same time, aren't we? And so as we sing these songs, I think they're all familiar. Let's just sing them with all our hearts. Sing them to your own heart if you need to be reminded of this. This is who we're singing about, is God and all that he is. So let's stand. If you want, you can stand, you can sit, and let's sing together. So there will be some verses, some choruses in Spanish. Just belt it out as hard as you can, or sing in English, or if you want to sing in German or Plotich or French or Italian, whatever. Just sing your heart out, all right? Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing and praise, sing and praise. The mighty hand and an outstretched arm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Por siempre. Por siempre Dios es fuerte. Por siempre Dios es fiel. Por siempre con nosotros. Por siempre y siempre. Forever, forever. From the rising to the setting, from the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever. By your grace we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Por siempre Dios es fuerte. Por siempre Dios es fiel. Por siempre con nosotros, por siempre y siempre, forever. Sing this together, sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever, forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever, por siempre Dios es fuerte. Por siempre Dios es fiel. Por siempre con nosotros, por siempre, siempre, forever, forever. Amen. This next song is an old camp song. If you've been to camp, at least a Winkler Bible camp, you might know it. It's just really a declaration of faith of what we believe. It says, I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died and rose again. I believe he paid for us all, and I believe that he's here now. I hope we can sing this with all our hearts this morning. There's a part that's an echo. I think it's in brackets. And you can sing the echo. You can sing the first part. You can make up your own echo. But let's just sing this with all our hearts this morning. I believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died and rose again. I believe he paid for our sin. And I believe that he's here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe in you, Lord. I believe in you, Lord. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. I believe you paid for our sin. And I believe that you're here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe you're here now, and I believe that you're here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe you're here now, and I believe that you're here now. You're standing in our midst, oh, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive.
Can we sing a wholehearted amen to that? Amen. All right, you can have a seat. Yeah, invite the ushers to come forward and we'll take the offering. And you can sing along as well, this offering. You probably know the song. You can even do the actions if you so choose.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to see us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Tu nombre levantaré, me deleito en adorarte. Te agradezco que en mi vida estés, que vienes a salvarme. De este trono para mostrarnos luz, de tu trono a la cruz, invítelo a pagar, de la cruz a morir, de la muerte a tu trono, en tu nombre levantaré. You left the throne into earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen.
I'd invite the kids forward. Luke has something for you. Come on up.
So, we on here? We on? How many of you have a best friend, perhaps? Some of you have a best friend? Some of you might even have a sibling, like a brother or sister, that you play with a lot. Like all the time, you go everywhere with them. That's tends to be what happens with siblings, whether we like it or not. Huh? But, Jesus had some best friends, too. Does anyone think they can guess who Jesus' best friends might have been? Asher? His disciples. Yep, those would probably be his closest circle of friends. I'm going to guess, though, that he had even a couple that were maybe even, I don't know, it's not like he liked them, better or loved them better, but he spent a lot of time with Peter, James, and John. Maybe even especially Peter and John. And so if we're going to call those his best friends, Peter and John, they did a lot of stuff together. Sometimes even stuff that the other disciples didn't do, these guys did together. And so one of my best friends is Riley. Riley over there, Riley Dick. He's a great guy. He's a great friend. And I'm going to get us to imagine something. I'm going to get Riley and Harley to come up. What would happen? Come on, right over here, right over here. What would happen if this were to happen? Go ahead.
Hey, you were Frisbee last week? Remember that Luke guy? It was terrible. I never really liked that Luke guy anyway.
That's devastating. Okay, you guys can be over there. We'll try to forgive you later. So what happened? So Riley's a really good friend of mine, but sometimes when other people say bad things about us, then we feel like, oh, maybe I want to fit in with those guys at that time. And this is just exactly what happened to Jesus, except worse. Much worse. So let's look over here in the Bible. So, in John 18, Jesus has been dragged away by the Romans and by some Jewish leaders, and this is what happens. Peter's inside a house, and Jesus is inside the house, and Peter's outside. And somebody comes up to him, a slave girl, and says, "Aren't you one of that man's disciples?" And he says, "I'm not." And then later, someone comes again and said, "Aren't you one of that guy's disciples?" He said, no, sure, certainly not. And again, he comes up and somebody asks him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden over there?" And he says, "No," again. And so he didn't even say he didn't like him. He said, "Oh, I don't even know that guy." Because Jesus was in big trouble. And Peter was scared. And so he said, "I didn't even know him." And that must have hurt Jesus. Jesus didn't hear it at the time, but we know that Jesus knew. Because he actually told Peter beforehand that this was going to happen. And afterwards, he knew that it did happen. So later, let's flip over. So later, Jesus has died and he's rose again. And he meets up with Peter. They're on a boat. as they often seem to be. And they're on a boat, and Jesus calls out to them. They haven't caught any fish, but he calls out to them and says, why don't you throw your nets on the other side? So they throw their nets on the other side, and they get just a boatload of fish, literally a boatload of fish, actually. And they knew immediately that must be Jesus. And Peter dives out of the boat. He doesn't even wait for the boat, like for them to, you know, row back. He dives out of the boat, soaking wet, you know, flops onto the shore and gives Jesus a big hug. I expect Jesus was good and wet. And they have a great time. And Jesus makes them breakfast on the beach and all this. And then after all this, Jesus asks him, do you love me? And we know that Peter loved him, but something happened, right? He had said he didn't know him, and that must have hurt. And Jesus asks him, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes." He says, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." So Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." And then he says it again. Do you love me? And Peter's like, well, yes, you know that I love you. I am like, all right, you just asked me this. And then Jesus asks him again, do you love me? And I expect about this time Peter was thinking, oh, yeah. Because Peter had said he didn't know him three times. And so Jesus asks him, do you love me, three times. And it's not like Jesus was trying to get him to feel bad about it, but he's trying to make it right. And it seems to me that he's saying, I forgive you. And he gives him the opportunity to say, I love you again. And I'm just so glad that like Peter, Jesus calls us his very best friends, his brothers and his sisters. And sometimes the way we act or even the things we say says, I don't really know that guy, you know? And so I'm just so glad that Jesus comes to us and asks, do you love me? And we have the opportunity to say yes, and he can forgive us for how we've treated him sometimes. So let's just remind ourselves today to say, yes, Jesus, we love you, and we're sorry for anything we may have said before, but today we say we love you as we really feel in our hearts. So let's pray that Jesus will give us that attitude. Jesus, thank you that you love us, and thank you that you've given us hearts to love you. And I ask that you'd remind us of both of those things today. And we just reaffirm, Jesus, that we love you, and thank you so much for forgiving us for when we have said bad things about you, or when we've acted like we don't know you. Would you bless these kids this week? Amen.
Let's sing together this hymn, this song I think we all know very well, Fairest, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, know God and Thee will I cherish, Thee will I honor, Thou my soul's glory, joy and crown. Fills on the shine, fairer still than the moonlight, than down the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels heaven can boast. Beautiful Savior, beautiful Savior, Lord of all the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise and adoration now and forevermore be thine, now and forevermore, now and forevermore be thine. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word, Christo, Christo, nombre glorioso, precioso Salvador, Deus Senhor, Emmanuel, Deus conosco. Palabra viva, mi redentor. Sing that again one time in Spanish. Cristo, Cristo, nombre glorioso, precioso Salvador, Dios Señor, Emmanuel, Dios con nosotros, palabra viva, mi redentor. Jesus, name above all names. Jesus, the name above all names, beautiful Savior, the glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word is our blessed Redeemer, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Amen.
Thank you, Ryan and team. Sorry, Ryan, we left you out of ushering this morning. You're not on for absolutely everything. As I was thinking about the thoughts Ryan shared, talked about coming for his message, I got caught on the word repentance, and I feel like Luke just gave that to us here this morning too. Repentance. Repentance for my blatant sins, for my omissions, for where I've fallen short, where I've disappointed myself and other people. And I wondered if maybe that's a good place for all of us to start this morning as we prepare to hear more of what God has for us specifically in the message or even as we go through afterwards. So I know we're quite familiar with kneeling in our church, and so in a minute, I wonder if we could do that together this morning. I'll lead us first in praising him together, and then I'll leave time just for you and I to bring whatever we need to confess, repent of, discuss with him for a little bit, and then a little bit of time to listen as he responds to us, just asking him, what are your thoughts now on this, God? I'm listening. And yeah, sometimes we stand, sometimes we sit to pray, sometimes we lie down or anything else. But there are times where just on your knees, on my knees, seems to be just the place I need to be. Maybe you feel like that sometimes too. So for those who can, we'll kneel first, and then after a bit, because I don't want your knees to get too sore, I'll just ask you to sit and we'll continue our prayer. So for those of us who can, let's kneel, and for those of us who can't, no worries. Let's kneel. Our Father, our Lord, we praise you this morning. We praise you, the creator of everything in nature, creator of each of us. We praise you for new life, for the promise of life with you when this one is done. We praise you for the people in our lives to love and to love us. We praise you for being the only God who forgives us. Would you hear us now as we bring those things you already know, but the things this morning we want to bring before you that we need to get rid of. The guilt, the attitudes, my words, my regret, and humbly ask for your forgiveness. Would you speak to us, Father, about this? We're listening. What do you have to say to me about this? Thank you, Father. Would you just sit on your pews and we'll continue our prayer? Thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers and that you strengthen us with your spirit in our inner being to grasp your love for us and for the person next to us. We bring before you those who come to mind for healing, for comfort, for a good dose of joy, for mercy like we need as well, and for courage. We bring before you Rudy and Kathy as they're on their rest break. Father, would you give them rest and restoration? We pray for Elma Kaler. She continues to heal in the hospital. We pray for Jake Rempel. Pray for Al Rempel and his family. For Helen Jansen. For Werner and Marlene this morning, Father, would you meet each of their needs? For Paul Peters, for John as he continues to heal, for Linda's and her family, for Tyler Lohan, you know where he is, what he's doing, what his challenges are. For Murray and Carol Hansberger, the same. For Lore and the Eagle's Wings Children's Village, you know exactly what's happening, what they need. Father, would you make your presence known? You are the Lord of us all. Would you take the reins where we feel like trying to lead? Would you give us the push when we need it? May we glorify you as one person, as a church, and as Christians. May we listen well as you speak now through your word and through your messenger. Amen. So for a scripture this morning, John 21, would you read with me, grab those Bibles in your pews if you don't happen to have yours with you. Here it is. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, and can I just interject? We just heard the peace that was likely running around in Peter's mind, never far from his mind, since Jesus was had come back. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Ryan, would you come and share with us? And could I pray for you first? Father, thank you for Ryan and his willingness to serve us this morning. Thank you for the ways in which he is impacting people where he is working in Mexico, for the way that you are speaking through people, through two people, through him there, and now for the way that you have already spoken to us through him and in the words that you have given him, that you've pressed upon his heart to give to us this morning. Father, would you bless him and give him every piece of what he needs as he speaks to us. Thank you.
All right, good morning again. We got to make up for a whole year of not being here, so you'll have to bear with. We've got till, 12:30, right? Just kidding. All right, it's so good to be here, as it always is. I want to do three things this morning, and hopefully each part will be nice and short so we don't go too long here. But I want to share just a little bit about what's going on now at the school. I want to share a little bit about what the school, kind of what our goal is at the school. And then I want to share a little bit about what this passage, how it's kind of been speaking to me. And you might You might recognize this guy. In your mailboxes, some of you will find some of these. So this is fridge clutter, in case you still see some paint on your fridge and you need to cover a little more of it. But if you do put this on your fridge, I'd ask one favor. I would ask that you, if you have an old one of this guy on there, take it off and replace it with this one, because it's scary enough to see just one of me if I come into your houses. So I would appreciate that. You can do whatever you want with the old one. I didn't actually bring enough, so I'll have to bring some more. So from the A's to the F's, somewhere in there didn't get any. And from the G's to the Z's, you all got one. So I'll make sure I get some next week. But just a reminder to keep praying for us, praying for the school. You know, this year, let's see if we can get this, see if this works here. Technology seems to have the same issues in Canada as it does in the U.S., where things don't always work the way you want them to. But here we are. This is our class of 2019. We had 9 students from across Mexico. A number of them came from the state of Sonora, where we're in, and a couple from other states as well. We had a young class. The youngest was 17, and the oldest was probably in his 60s or so. And there's one guy that jumps out in particular. There we go. Juan David. He's a young guy. He's 21 years old. He comes from the mountains, literally from the mountains, in the state of Sonora. He's from an indigenous tribe in Mexico called the Guarajillo. And he came to school. He came to study. Spanish is his second language. He doesn't speak it super, or he doesn't read. He didn't read super well, but he did speak. He does speak Spanish well. He was a guy who is accustomed to living literally in the mountains. He would tell stories about how he'd spend days on end just by himself out in the mountains. To get to his village, there's no roads. You can't even get there by quad or motorcycle. You walk. You can get to the end of the highway, wherever you walk, 2 hours through the mountains to get to the first village, and then to get to his village, you walk another 7 or 8 hours. There's actually been a number of local churches who've done missions groups out to his area. And they've been working in that area because they do have a church, but it's a very, not a very mature church, I guess you could say. And so they've been praying, they've been wanting to send someone in there to go serve, but ideally they wanted someone to come out from that village to come and study and to go back and to be a blessing there. So Juan David was a huge answer to prayer, first of all, in his willingness to leave his life, his lack of structure there, and to come into school. We were honestly wondering, how is this guy going to do? Used to kind of doing your own thing, away from all of the benefits or curses of technology and all of this stuff, just such a different experience being in school. And from the structure, from the time, and from the Spanish, and from the social aspect too, because he came and their tribe is a little more reserved, actually, no, very reserved. You wouldn't often see even smiles. There wouldn't be a lot of interaction. And so to come and to be plopped into this community with us was a big stretch. And Juan, it didn't take him a long time to start smiling, to start engaging, to start just relating with us. And even so, we were still wondering, is he understanding, is he grasping, is he catching on to the message? Because he wouldn't share a lot in classes. You wouldn't really see what's going on beneath the surface. It was probably later on in the season. And he stayed at a local mission center, actually the mission center that I first worked at the first 5 years I was down in San Carlos. And he spent the weekends there. And I have a good friend who still works there. And this one day, my friend, he calls me up, and he's just sharing about what's going on. He's sharing about Juan David and sharing about the changes that he's seen. And Juan David, without anyone prodding him or encouraging him, he just, in this meeting that they were having, he stood up and he grabbed his Bible and he just started sharing about what he had been learning from the Word of God. And it was just... It wasn't Juan. It wasn't the Juan David that they first saw. It wasn't the Juan David that we even saw in the school. But to see that the Word and every day just being in the Word was sinking down, and he was capturing it, even if it was in his own level or his own sense because of maybe his grasp of Spanish and all of that. But to see God at work in his life was really, really, really cool. So this year was particularly special because it was the 10th class. The school started in 2010, 2019. Was our 10th class, and we had a celebration. We invited all the past students to come. We had a number of show up, and they spent a couple of weeks with us, and we had one evening set aside to just celebrate and thank God for all that he'd done over those 10 years. And this was the group that gathered, pastors that have been a part of it, students and teachers and people from the community, and we were really excited. And it wasn't just that one evening, but we actually had two weeks of classes where the students were invited back. We had about a dozen students come in from over the years. And we even had a couple of international students. I don't know if you recognize them. I don't know if they pop out. Can you spot them? If you don't quite see them, there they are. We had the privilege of having Jake and Ingrid there for those 2 weeks. And Jake, he was a fish in the water. He was right in there. He was one of the students. And it was cool to spend that time with them. It was cool to even just see them interact, just see them, have them be a part of the school and have them be a part of the classes. And Jake was right in there in every one of the classes. And I know that everyone there was super blessed by them. And Jose Luis and Chayo here on the right are two teacher couple from Mexico. And they really appreciated you guys as well, as much as you guys appreciated them. So it was a real blessing to have those guys here and to see school, see it in action. And one other blessing we really had during those 2 weeks is that we had the three founding couples of the school were there at that time. Howard and Susan Dick, of course, are the directors. They've been there since the beginning. Rich and Karen used to be the pastor of a church in San Carlos, and he was there, and he was part of the vision to see the school started, and he was there that week teaching a class for the students. And Eric and Roxana are two of the founding teachers as well. They were there right from the beginning. They had the vision for the school of what it would look like. He's from Argentina, from the city of Patagonia, which, if you know Argentina, is the furthest point south in Argentina. She is from Alaska, which I don't have to explain where that is. But somehow God brought them together. I think they met maybe once or twice before they got married, and they corresponded by mail, not email, mail. And God brought them together, and they've been a huge part of the school. So these three couples were there at the same time. It was a really exciting to see all that God has done in these last 10 years, and to look ahead to where things are going. And one exciting thing that's happening this fall, it's not run by us, but it's going to be run out of the school, and we're going to have a part of it. And it's called, the program is called Conciervos. It's a program for missionary training, for training Mexicans who have a desire to go into missions. It's a three-month intensive program run very much like our schools run. And we're going to be helping with some teaching and be alongside of these young people. And that's happening now at the end of September. And then coming up in January, when our next course happens, we're going to start a second year, a second level at the same time as the first year. So we've talked about that for years, and this year, with God's favor, it's going to happen. So we're really excited going forward and seeing. It's always neat when you kind of look back and you see all that God has done, it gives you that much more encouragement to look forward and to see what God is going to keep doing. All right? So keep praying for us. Pray for the students. Pray for the students who don't know they're coming yet, but they're coming. We're trying to remind them too. You're coming, get that application form in. It usually ends up being a last-minute thing, but pray for those students, and pray for us as a staff, too, because as there's changes, there's always changes. And, yeah, just pray. Keep praying for us, and thank you so much for all the prayers. All right, part one is done. part two. If you want to take notes, there won't be an exam at the end, but hopefully you capture a little bit of this. This is I just kind of wanted to share a little bit about what our aim is, what our goal is, what the program is built around, and what we want to see in the students. And so you may feel for the next few minutes like you're in class, but don't fall asleep, and take notes if you need to. There won't be an exam though, okay? So there's kind of three areas, and like a lot of things sound better in Spanish, and this is one of those things too. It works better in Spanish, but we'll do it in English here. There's three areas, and one is our knowledge, is to know. In Spanish, the verb we'd use is saber, it's to know. And one area we focus, of course, in Bible school is knowledge of the Bible. How do you study the Bible? Understanding the Bible. And one of the big emphases that we see and we try to convey that the Bible itself teaches us is that this whole book is around one person and points to one person from the beginning to the end. Jesus didn't just show up in the New Testament. The Old Testament is kind of put back on the shelf, and now we're talking about Jesus. But right from the beginning, God is developing this story, this one story that reaches its culmination in Christ. And so that's a huge part. That ought to be the huge part of any Bible school, right? From there, to know, to be, which is the verb ser, to be. This has to do with all the stuff that we know sinking down and becoming a reality in our lives and in our hearts. And to be knowing that, understanding who we are in Christ, understanding who our identity is in Christ, and understanding that God is calling us, like we've been hearing this morning, is God is calling us, and you've been hearing all this summer, God is calling us to a personal relationship with Him. He's looking for these personal encounters with us that goes beyond theology to a place where we encounter God Himself. And it leads, and part of this is a deep inner transformation that God wants to do in every one of our lives. And from there, the other area is to do, hacer. So you can see this is a lot more beautiful in Spanish. Saber, ser, and hacer. It kind of rhymes a little bit, right? But to know, to be, and then finally to do. To do. there we go. To do. This is pretty self-explanatory. The hands-on, the ministry, the getting out with the serving. We're often really good at this. In fact, we're often good at these two areas. We're often good at the knowledge, especially if we've grown up in the church, and we're often good at the doing, right? Getting our hands dirty and getting active and doing stuff. The problem is that when these two areas are emphasized, and that middle one is missing. And I don't know if you would agree with me. I don't know if you think there's a tendency to jump from the things we know, from what we know, from the knowledge we have, to just going out and doing. And I don't know if you would recognize that in your own life. I don't know if I would look at my life. I would say, yeah, I don't necessarily let this knowledge of the things I know, let it get too deep to affect me, to change me. We're good knowers, we're good doers, but are we good beers? I don't know if that makes any sense. That's terrible grammar, isn't it? This is not an English class, though, thankfully, right? So this is an area that we focus on in school. This is an area that we spend time. This is an area where we want the things that we know, the things that we're seeing in the Word, we want it to drip down, to filter down, to touch, to affect the students' hearts, our hearts. And what happens when we do this, when it's just surface knowledge and we just kind of act on what we know, we end up with a superficiality, we end up with a lack of surface depth. And I don't know if you've ever felt this or sensed this at some point in your life, but have you ever felt like, something's missing? Like there's something missing in my life. I understand, I may even be serving, I may be even doing all this stuff, but there's there's something missing. There's something deep within me that yearns for something more, something deeper. I don't know if you can relate. You can relate to that, or if you felt that way at some point in your life. I think part of it has to do with this part, this area that God wants to meet us in and encounter us and change us and transform us. What happens, for example, you know, with all the knowledge, all the Bible knowledge that we have a lot of knowledge about Jesus. We have a knowledge about God. But how well do we really even know? How well do we know him? How well do we know even ourselves? We know what we ought to do. We do it with all our heart. We may even look good on the outside, but there's something missing deep within us. And so this is the area that we focus in. This is the area that we try to walk alongside the students and try to see. In fact, we don't actually have any tests. There's no exams. There's actually very little homework for the students to do. The majority of the homework is daily Bible reading and memory passages. And certain classes will have homework as well. But there's no exams. There's no final exams. No classes have exams. Because exams kind of focus on this, on what you know and what you can remember and all these facts. When the reality in the school, when we're looking for this deep personal transformation, these encounters with God, this is something that you're going to see. It's not something that you're going to even find out in an exam, in a written exam. It's something that you're going to see as you walk alongside these students, as day in and day out we're in the Word and we're studying the Word. And you're going to see. You're going to see the effects, or you won't see the effects. You're going to see it. It's inevitable. You know, it's one thing when you meet once a week, or when you see someone every so often, we can put on a good face. I think we be honest. Sometimes we become really good at that, even in our Sunday mornings. Right, we get up in the morning, we shower, and we put on our best clothes, and we come here and. And this is good. This is a good place to be. But there's something that happens when we live life together, when we walk together, not just one day a week, but every day or several days, as a family, as you walk together, you get to know a different side of people than you may get to know. You may not even recognize the person you come with on Sunday morning. It's like, who are you? You weren't the same person I saw the last 6 days of the week, right? You know what I mean? So there's something special about these 14 weeks we spent together with these students. There's something special I see here too in this church. I just kind of plop in here and come here, you know, once a year and see things. But even in that brief time, I can tell that this isn't just a church that just gets together once a week and that's it. But there is life. And that you guys are living life together, not just here, but outside of here too. And you can sense that. You can sense that life and that depth. And so as we work together, as we live together with these students, stuff comes out, right? The real self, the me comes out. And then the question is, what are you going to do about it, right? There's one student in particular that, when I think about this, just really highlights exactly what this was about. And he's a young guy named Jonathan. I think I have his picture here. Yeah. He's a young guy. He comes from a local church. We know him. We know his family. We know the church a little bit. And he is a guy who just made some real mistakes kind of just before he came to school. And some mistakes that really affected his family, his church, to the point where he wasn't actually attending his church right now because some relationships had been broken to that point. He came, he talked to us and together with his dad, and they just felt that this was a good time to get away, a good time to come to the school, a good time to study, a good time to just get away from everything and kind of hit a reset button in his life. So we talked with him and we prayed and we just sensed, okay, well, we'll see you. We'll see you. Actually, it was in 3 days. He came a couple of days before. And, you know, in the beginning, we could just tell. He was not
He had the right answers. He was saying the right things. Yes, I want to be here. I want to learn about God. I want to do this. I want to serve him, all this stuff. But for all that we can say, there's often the reality of who we are or where our heart really is at comes through. And it came through in many little things, many little attitudes. He was still struggling with some of the errors and the things that he had done before he came. He was still struggling with those things. And we had to sit down with him a couple of times and just really ask him, what's going on? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And really having to put some limits on him, because he wasn't where he said he was at, where he claimed to be. But, you know, as he went through, as the weeks went on, we honestly didn't know if we could see much change in his life. We didn't see if anything was happening, if anything was sinking down, really. And there was one point, one conversation with one teacher had with him, and we're finally... God really just broke through into his life. And though he had grown up in the church, and though he had grown up in this context, he came to understand the beauty and the simplicity of the gospel in a way that he had never understood it before. And looking back, he could realize that, yes, I'm saved by faith, but I have to do this. But it has to be done this way. But I have to pray like this. But there was a whole list of buts. And when going through the scriptures and just going through the gospel and going through the panorama of the Bible and seeing Christ and seeing his work and seeing what he's done and seeing that Jesus has done it all, this came, this lights on moment where he got it and he understood it. And for him, it was one of these day and night differences. The Jonathan that we knew, that we saw after that moment, had nothing to do with the Jonathan that we saw before that. And that is the work that God wants to do, is constantly doing in every one of our lives. He wants to bring us to these places where we have those aha moments and we understand and we not just get it, we get him, we meet him, we understand. We understand what he's done, and we understand that work that Christ has done on the cross is for me personally, to cover my personal wrongs. The difference we saw in him was not just the light in his eyes and the joy that he just exuded, but his desire to deal with the things that the errors errors that he had made before he was coming. His desire to go back to the people and to ask for forgiveness and to make things right and to do things right. And not only that, to go back and he was talking about his plans to go back with other young people and to counsel them and to encourage them, to keep them from some of the same mistakes that he had made. And you could see this was coming from the bottom of his heart, from a heart that had been touched, a heart that had been transformed. And those are the stories that are encouraging to see, because often you don't see the fruit of your labor. Every so often you capture these glimpses of what God is doing, and it's so awesome. It's so awesome to see. There's a saying, I'm sure you've all heard of this: the longest distance is the world is 8 inches from the head to the heart. I don't know if you can identify with that. The longest distance. For the stuff that we have locked away up here, to have that filter down and impact us in our hearts. I love the theme that you guys have this summer, personal encounters with Christ. So I think God is searching for personal encounters with us, with each one of us, with you, with me. I think he's constantly looking for those encounters, much like the encounter that we read about between Peter and Jesus. He's looking for these times where we can throw off the masks, throw off all these things that we say we are, throw off even all our activities, and just, like Pastor Udi was mentioning last week, just be still and before him and listen to him. And you know what? I guess one question here. Why do we have this tendency to run from that, to avoid that, to maybe skirt around the issues, to not even take those times, to avoid that altogether, to avoid these counters? But I should maybe ask first, Do you? Do you ever avoid those times? Do you avoid those encounters? And then the question is, why? Why do we do it? There's probably a ton of reasons, so many reasons why we do that, because those times are not safe. Let's, you know, I want to look at the story, and I really, I'm so thankful for Luke, for the story, for the backing you gave, and Ray was saying that you guys in the Sunday school class looked at this passage this morning a little bit, and kind of what happens before. These encounters, these things that Jesus does, and how he arranges things, and how he corners us, how he traps us sometimes. That's what it feels at times, I think, right? And yet he does it, and he does it out of an incredible love he has for us. Let's read just a couple of these passages that let us know what's going on. You know what? We won't read all of this, but you can remember in John 13, John is sitting with his disciples. We know what's going to happen. The disciples have no clue what's about to happen, that Jesus is going to be betrayed. He's going to be hung on the cross. He's going to die. So this is the last pep talk that he has with his disciples. He gathers them around, his closest friends, his followers, and he gives them the last pep talk, the last hurrah, the last words, the final things that he wants to say. And in the midst of this, he's saying, I'm leaving, and you guys can't follow. And Peter, we love Peter, right? Peter is the guy that we love to say, oh, Peter, you did it again. You suck your foot in your mouth again, right? He's real easy to even to criticize and say, oh, Peter, for Pete's sake, right? For Peter's sake, why are you doing this? I'm sure the disciples felt this routinely. Oh, Peter, there he goes again, right? Sure, he walked on water, but then he drowns, or he almost drowns. And Peter had this, I think he was, God didn't create him with a filter, neither in what he said nor what he did, right? And Peter just goes at it. And this is one of those situations when Peter says, I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus says, you will disown me 3 times. I don't know if you've ever made a big claim or said, I'm going to do this. God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve you this way. I'm going to serve you with all of my heart. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And God is like, huh, that's awesome. But maybe he's staying pretty quiet. Maybe he's not as open as he was with Peter. He's like, well, okay, great. All our great intentions. It's only hours later. This is John 18. We read from John 13, John 18, just the fact that there's 5 chapters that have passed. There's actually only several hours that have passed in this time. And we heard this morning about this 3 times Peter denies the Lord. 3 times after having said, I will follow you all of my life. Hours later, Peter denies him once, denies him twice, denies knowing him 3 times. John is very gracious to Peter as John is writing this, because he says at the end, and Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. And then the scene changes. But if you look at the other Gospels tell a very different story. And all of the other Gospels, actually, let's read Luke 22. This is very interesting. He says, Peter, I don't know if you can, you may not be able to read this, but I'll read it here. It's Luke 22, verse 6. He says, Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about, the third denial. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Jesus was in the house there, in the house of the high priest. Jesus was in the house being questioned. Peter was outside in the courtyard. But somehow there was this, Jesus could see Peter, and Peter must have been watching, and just from the distance, just trying to stay on the fringes there, watching what was happening. And meanwhile, you must have known Jesus, right? No, I didn't know him. No, I didn't know him. In that moment, Jesus looks at Peter. How would Peter have felt at that moment? Not just with the rooster crowing, but that look that Jesus will have given at that point. I can't imagine how that situation, that moment must have marked Peter. And he must have just felt, wow, I have just failed. There's two things going on here, I think, that we need to see. One is that there are some pretty extraordinary things happening at this time. Their leader, who they followed for 3 years, their leader they've believed in, their leader that they've laid everything down for, their leader that they're hoping is going to come and save Israel and be this next king, is suddenly taken away. Jesus has warned them, but do they really understand what's going on? And in this moment, Peter responds. Peter responds poorly. I can't imagine the weight that Peter must have felt as he's watching Christ being crucified, as he's living through these next few days, and with the weight not only of Christ having, of Jesus have being crucified, but of him, his final words, his final moment with Christ was in this moment of failure. I don't know if you can imagine how that weight must have been in Peter's life. You know, it's easy to say sometimes, man, if I were in that situation, I would have done this. Or if I'd be in that situation, I'd respond like this. Or I'll do this. Or we can think so many things about how we're in that moment, in that situation, we would be victorious. We would stand up and we would say that thing and we would do that and we would. But there's something that happens sometimes in that moment. You know, there's a saying, where the rubber meets the road, we find out sometimes what we're actually made of, right? What I love about this story and what I love about the passage that Char read with us this morning is that Jesus comes. Jesus is there in that moment when Peter fails, when Peter denies him. Jesus is there. Jesus recognizes it. Jesus knows it. Now, as we come to the final passage, the final chapter, John 21, and we see this exchange, and we see Jesus saying, "Do you love me?" And as we see the whole scene that unfolds before that, and you guys in the Sunday school class will have seen that, Jesus comes to Peter, and Jesus asked him what probably was a pretty hard question. Do you love me? He asks it once. Do you love me? He asks it twice. Do you love me? Now, I don't know how much Peter was carrying this. I don't know how heavy this was weighing on him. You know, as he's out in the boat, and Jesus is on the shore, and Jesus says, "Throw your nets out on the other side." And they capture this boatload of fish. And Peter goes running out to Jesus. I wish I knew what was going on through Peter's mind. But there's no doubt that by the end of this short conversation that Jesus has with Peter, that Peter understands some things real clearly. Because it says on that third time, you can't read this at all, can you? But this is John 15. This is this passage. The third time, "Do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt. Three times he denies, three times he's asked this question. Do you love me? There is no mistaking that Peter recognizes that Jesus is acknowledging that moment, that last moment that Peter had before Jesus went to the cross. There's something so powerful about this, because where does Jesus meet us? Where did Jesus meet Peter? It's at that point of failure. It's that point, it's at Peter's lowest point. It's where Peter is, in a sense, just exposed. Where you get past all the claims, all the things that Peter's saying, "I'm going to do this." This is Peter. Peter is a guy who makes mistakes. Peter is a guy who makes a lot of claims. Peter is a guy who says a lot of stuff. Peter's a guy who failed. Peter's a guy who denied Christ. And with every question, and by the third time, there's no question that Jesus is acknowledging this, that Jesus is not covering over this. You know, if you were to put yourself in Jesus' position in that moment, how would you respond? What would be your first words to Peter? How about that rooster, Peter, hey? Peter, you blew it. Peter, why'd you deny me? Peter, I was right there. Peter, do you even love me? I wonder if any one of those responses would be our responses, but Jesus' response is totally different. Jesus is there recognizing us in our failure, meeting us in our failure, meeting us in our lowest points. But he doesn't do it to condemn. He doesn't do it to point a finger and make sure we understand full well the wrong things we've done. He also doesn't overlook it. He's not just, it's okay, we'll just sweep this under the rug. It's all paid for. It's all done. Don't worry about it. It's all good. I don't know how Jesus does this, but in his conversation, he recognizes it. He acknowledges it. And he restores Peter. He lifts him up. He affirms him. He says, three times he says, feed my lambs. He places a confidence in Peter. And in that question, I would just wonder if Jesus just gets to the bottom, the heart of the matter of what it is, what it really is all about, what he is really wanting from us, what he's really wanting from Peter, that bedrock, that foundation. And what is it? What is that question? Do you love me? Do you love me? Have you ever heard that question from God? Do you love me? It's not a pointed question. Do you love me? Do you even love me? It's a question, do you love me? Can you hear God's heart for Peter in that moment? Can you hear what God wants from Peter in that moment? God doesn't want all the things that Peter can do. God doesn't want any of that stuff. God wants Peter's love. God wants Peter's heart. I don't know if you can hear Jesus' heart for Peter's heart. You know, how important is that to love God? We've talked about this morning, the verse this morning, love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's the first and greatest commandment that when Jesus was asked, he said, what is the first and greatest commandment? It is this, love the Lord your God. It goes right back to the beginning, right back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, which says, hear, O Lord, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God. You know what's ironic? That prayer, that Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, is a part of the prayers that the Jews would have prayed day and night, every day. Love the Lord your God. Goes right to the Old Testament. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And so in that moment when Peter was denying, was denying Christ, Jesus was in the house of the high priest being questioned. The high priest, who will have been praying this prayer day and night, love the Lord your God with all your heart. If you ask that high priest, if you ask those priests in those days, do you love the Lord? Do you love God? They would have said, yes, I love God, right? They prayed all the time. They understood. They understood the concept. But did they love the Lord their God with all their heart? Jesus said, if you love the Father, you will love me because I have come from the Father. And what were they doing with Jesus? They were denying him. They were doing everything they could to take Jesus down, to get rid of him. They were completely denying who he was. You know, it brings me back to the question, what do we do? And maybe it comes down to this. What do we do with Jesus? The central thing is, what are you going to do with Jesus? What do we do with Jesus? How do we respond to him? For the chief priests, the easiest thing to do, let's just write this guy off. He is out of here. We're gonna take him down. We're gonna get rid of him. I don't think we do that, do we? But perhaps we do that in a similar way. It's easier to keep Jesus, to keep God at a distance. It's easier to keep the word up here. We can be great Bible students studying the Bible and understanding it more. But to keep it at a distance, to keep a block in between our head and our heart, to not allow God in, to not allow God to change us, to affect us, to speak to us, to transform us, because that is not a safe place. In fact, encounters with Jesus are not safe in one sense, are they? They are not, because Jesus has this way of speaking things, of showing us things, of changing us as if we need changing, right? And the reality is that we do. But Jesus has this way. The thing I love about this passage in John 21 is the way that Jesus comes in mercy, in grace, in love, restoring us. And we'll just end with this picture. There's one more picture that's kind of being alluded to that happens in this story with a miraculous catch of fish. And it is strikingly similar to another miraculous catch of fish that happens in the beginning of the Gospels. It's when Peter himself is actually first called to be a disciple. Jesus does it in the same way. Throw your nets out on the other side, but we have been fishing all night and we haven't caught a thing, but because you say we'll do it. This is Peter talking, of course, right? And they do it. And Peter understands. Peter sees. Peter follows. I can't help but think that this scene must have been going through Peter's mind. And there's no doubt that Jesus orchestrated all of this, that Jesus chose to appear in this moment, in this time, as a fisherman. And Peter says, let's go out and fish. The disciples get out onto the boat. They start fishing. Jesus is standing on the shore ready to meet them. And in this moment, he says, cast out your nets. And they pull in a huge boatload of fish. There's no doubt that there's no doubt that in Peter's mind, that first time that he is called is coming there. And so he goes, he runs out to meet Jesus. And Jesus says, do you love me? You know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? You know all things, Lord. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. And Peter is restored, Peter is forgiven, Peter is healed, Peter is affirmed, Peter is empowered, and Peter is given a pretty huge job. You know, I don't know if you can find yourself in this story somewhere. I think Peter is a very relatable guy. I think when we're honest, when we look at our own lives and we see, wow, the things, the areas, the places that I have failed, and it's so hard sometimes to bring those things to God, to meet Jesus in those places, but those are the exact places that Jesus needs to meet us for our own need, for our own sake, so that he can bring healing, so that he can bring life, so that he can move us forward in love. And at the heart of it all is this question, do you love me? At the heart of it all is this question, do you love God? Do I love God? I don't think there's anything that God wants more from us than our hearts, our love for him, more than our service, more than all we can do for him. He wants us. He wants our hearts. Oh, I hope you can find yourself somewhere in this and relate to Peter. And more than that, I hope that you can have the courage to run to Jesus, to run to him, to allow him to meet us wherever he wants to meet us. And that he can bring that touch, that healing, that word that only he can bring. We're going to sing a closing song. I invite the guys to come forward, and let's just sing this together. Here I am to worship.
sing this morning, just conscious that as we've been singing up to now, God is with us, Jesus is with us, and here we are to worship, here I am to worship and bow down before him. Let's sing this together. Light of the world, you stem down into darkness. The lumping of my eyes, let me see. Beauty that make this heart that to you. Hold on by my life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together, love me, love together me, all together wonderful to me. King of all days,
the King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heavenly number. Humbly you came to the earth, you created all for love's sake, became here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am. All together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me.
Let's receive these restorative, strengthening words from God's word in Ephesians as our sending benediction. Let's stand. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.